through the certification of your right to subrogation to alter your stance. You quit being the surety or the trustee to be responsible for the charges, and you actually become the plaintiff, and you own the court case, and you own the bonds that the plaintiff or the prosecution had to put up to ensure the case to the court.
So does that mean that by being in that position and being the person in charge of the bonds, can I offset that debt?
Oh, sure.
At the same time?
Yeah, because, see, once you, and they cannot refuse you the right to be subrogated. They cannot refuse it. Even the Supreme Court has said so. There are various cases on this. But once you ask the court for a certification of your right to subrogation, they're either going to say yes, or they're going to say no, or they're going to be very silent, or you're going to hear a lot of hems and haws because they don't know what to say, but he can't refuse it. So even if you don't get an answer, you just basically make an offer to offset whatever the obligation is right then and there. But you wait for their answer to see what they're going to say. Tell them you'd like it in writing, a certification
okay.
of your right.
And if they decline, looking at me like this person
they can't,
know anything.
They can't decline. If they decline, then the judge has to step in because he knows that if he allows them to decline, then he's probably going to be looking at an appeal where he's reversed.
Can the judge lose his bond, too, at the same time for not?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he can actually lose his job.
Hmm. Okay, so the first, I understand about getting a paralegal. I know of one, but what are the odds of a paralegal or even an attorney wanting to, or even to know enough about subrogation to know that?
They know about it, but it's so little used. It's not necessarily a secret, but it's not something they want out in the public venue because everybody would start using it, like even in a traffic case or a parking ticket. See, and then they own the case, and in. If everything works the way it's supposed to, what is supposed to happen is the prosecution or the plaintiff, and it's usually the same party, you know, through the prosecutor anyway, he has to give you the court file, and he has to give you the court bonds that he's put up to ensure that somebody pays the damages on the case. See, a lot of people don't understand this. When a prosecutor brings a case into court, he has to put up a bond. Okay, we always talk about, you know, cases being bonded and the bonds are sold to people like
Wall Street
buy and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
But that there are several bonds. There's a performance bond. There are several bonds, about three or four of them, depending on what the case is. But he has to turn the bonds over to you. You can take the bonds down to the court clerk downstairs, and they'll actually write you out a check for the value of the bonds if everything works perfectly, if that's what you want.
And that actual money is coming from my actual TDDA account, is it not?
We're not talking about that, but yeah, that's where it comes from, yeah. See, the reason an attorney or a lawyer has to put up a bond, and it's guaranteed by his bar card. Have you ever heard that, you know, every attorney that goes into court has to take his checkbook with him?
I heard that terminology a long time ago, but it just kind of went in one ear.
Yeah, well, see, if he loses the case, he has to write out a check to the court because he's guaranteed he will find a victim to pay for the charges to cover the bonds. Yeah, because the court uses those bonds to finance itself.
Okay, that is absolutely amazing. Excuse me, Art.
Sure, sure.
Because now that just gave me the reason why they use public defenders, because they know that they are working for the court to make sure that the defendants lose so that the attorney can hang on to his money.
Well, it's not just that, WC. before the court can go into your TDA and extract money from it, they have to have three signatures. You want to guess what those three signatures are?
The judge, the public defender, and the attorney.
That's right.
Wow, that is absolutely corrupt.
No, because if you have allowed yourself to be subjected to being a ward of the court or incompetent by accepting the public defender or hiring your own attorney, they don't require anything from you. It takes three members of the court to sign to make sure that your TDA money is released into the court.
Wow. But what happens if I represent myself, Fisher? Then you're looking at two signatures.
Well, see, why do you think they want you to have a public defender or an attorney?
But in my situation, to be a realistic,
I wouldn't accept it. You can hire an attorney if you want, but don't let him talk for you.
Oh, yeah.
Have him there as a consultant only. Well, this brings up another thing. I wouldn't argue this, but just so everybody understands. You understand. No, were you married?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Now, you went down and got a marriage license, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. That made the state a third party in your marriage, okay? So if they're a third party in your marriage and they can come in at some point in time because of something they hear or some allegation or some rumor, right, like support enforcement or child protection services comes in and says, we hear you've been, you know, doing this, that, or the other thing, and we're going to take the kid out of the home, okay? As a third party to the marriage, they have the right to do that. But at the same time, if they're a third party and they have that right to do that, why don't they ever pay their fair share of the child support? They did not explain it fully. What happens normally in a child support situation like that, especially where somebody's in arrears,
mm-hmm.
is the welfare agency, whatever you want to call it, steps in, and they're the ones that actually get the money, and they give the mother or the child whatever they want to. But they do get matching funds from the feds in the event the mother is on welfare or the child is. No, if the mother goes on any type of federal assistance, and that includes food stamps, or the child does, there are matching funds provided by the federal government. But when you pay your child support, unless it's been stipulated by the court that awarded the divorce decree and made the decree that you pay the child support, the only way it can go directly to the mother in any case is if the judge specifically ordered that in writing, which they very seldom do anymore. They just say, you have to pay child support, and here's where you send it. But it usually goes to whoever runs the welfare organization or agency in the state. Yeah, no, you want them to certify that you have the right of subrogation. That's all you've got to say.
Okay.
Will the prosecutor certify my right to subrogation?
Gotcha.
And you ask that to the judge, and you're probably going to see him smile because it's gonna surprise him that you know about it. It's going to shock the prosecutor, and the judge is going to slam the prosecutor if he doesn't do the right thing.
So it's almost like just by that statement alone, it's a win-win situation for me.
Yeah, you can't lose because they cannot refuse your right to subrogation. Because you have to remember, again, look at your court papers. Who is it that got ordered to pay child support? Is it all uppercase name or is it your name?
Yeah, it's in my fiction name, exactly.
Yeah, okay. See, now you see, you're the surety for the debt because you're the government-issued entity known as the uppercase name can't pay the bill. So who are they going to come to? You see how stupid this is? I mean, you're the biological father, right?
Right.
Can an uppercase name be a biological anything? But this is how dumb this court system has become. Because, see, even if you paid the child arrearages and you had an attorney, you know, defending you or trying to defend you as you think he might be trying to do, but what is an attorney's job? Is to take your stuff and to give it to the queen. Okay, so you're never going to win if you hire an attorney, because you automatically become incompetent and a ward of the state, which means the judge doesn't have to hear a damn thing you say. Because you're incompetent.
All right, well, that was a lot simpler than I thought, for sure, and I really appreciate you giving me that feedback again, and I understand a lot more. And
it's a very interesting subject, and it's, you know, there's not a lot out there on it, and there are very few people that even talk about it or know about it.
Subrogation. One who is not a party to a given transaction, especially someone other than a party or the party's employee, agent. Oh, this is talking about a stranger, okay? One who is not a party to a given transaction, someone other than a party, party's employee, agent, tenant, or immediate family member. Now, this actually, the very end is the one, this definition number three, a person who voluntarily pays another person's debt, even though the payer cannot be held liable for the debt and the payer's property is not affected by the creditor's rights. Subrogation does not apply to a stranger if the debtor did not agree to or assign subrogation rights. Okay, so again, as when you subrogate, when you pay the other debt, they subrogated their right to you, and so now you have the right to subrogate to reassign that debt. Okay, and what these pigs are doing is they're stealing it and going and taking it themselves. Okay, so when you bring up the issue of subrogation, you're just blowing that bubble big time, okay? Because you have the right to subrogation. If you don't use it, then they'll do it. And that's what they do, okay? Subrogation is an equitable assignment. The right comes into existence when the surety becomes obligated, and this is important as affecting priorities. But such right of subrogation does not become the cause of action until the debt is fully paid. Subrogation entitles the surety to use any remedy against the principal which the creditor could have used, and in general to enjoy the benefit of any advantage which the creditor had, such as a mortgage lien, power of confess judgment, to follow trust funds, to proceed against the third person who has promised either the principal or the creditor to pay the debt. And that's, again, taken from Black's Law Dictionary, 8th edition. And so, again, this all comes down to subrogation, and this is, like, really, really powerful. This really puts them in a bad situation. Legal subrogation. A subrogation that arises by operation of law, by implication and equity to prevent fraud or injustice. Legal subrogation arises when the paying party has a liability claim or fiduciary relationship with the debtor. Okay, remember we talked about that Braswell case where if you're an officer of the corporation, okay, the same thing. The paying party has a liability claim or a fiduciary relationship with the debtor. Okay, they're basically assaulting you with that. The party has to fulfill a legal duty or because of public policy, or the paying party is a secondary debtor, or the paying party is a surety. The party pays to protect its own rights or property. And so, again, that's legal subrogation. That's exactly what's going on here. One of those for sure, maybe more than one. So again, this is all about subrogation. You want them to certify that you have the right to subrogation. That kills them. Okay, they'll make it go away. That kills them. And when you bring that up, you bring that on the court of appeal. They're nothing but a bunch of thieves and pirates. It exposes them for what they are exactly.